Today I want to talk to you from the title, Staying Focused. Staying focused. Amen. I think they're in my office. Children's church is in full effect, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, that's my wife. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Again, we want to talk from the title, Staying Focused. It is critical that we, especially at this time in the ministry, that we stay focused, amen. Saints of God, hear me and hear me good. This church will not just survive. Yeah, thanks. I was just trying to play it off till he got down here, amen. Because it was hard, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. I put a Facebook post on years ago that said, in my 20s, you wouldn't have caught me without my gun. In my 30s, you wouldn't catch me without my phone. But now in my 50s, you won't catch me without my glasses. Oh, how the game has changed. Lord, have mercy. The struggle is real. Amen. You remember when we used to wear these things just to be cute? Amen. Didn't have an eye problem, one. Oh, if I knew then what I know now. Amen. Beloved, hear me and hear me good. Our church will not just survive, but it will thrive and go on to be the great and vibrant church that God has called it to be. And it can be hard to believe that looking around the sanctuary right now. And I was wondering why God put this message on my heart, but I understand. I need you to understand that we are in good hands. And I'm sure of this because we are not in the hands of Pastor Lyons, but rather we are in the hands of a Jewish carpenter and a preacher from Galilee. We are in the hands of a man who has defied nature and calmed a storm one day, and he is familiar with storms, and that's what we're going through right now, but every now and again a storm is good for you, amen? We are in the hands of a man who called dead people from the grave. So be encouraged, we are in good hands because we are in the hands of a man that one day walked on water, turned water into wine, fed 5,000 with two small fish and five loaves of bread and had plenty left over for the next day. Growth Temple, we are in good hands because we are still in the hands of a man that though he was crucified, dead, and buried, just when Satan thought that he had him defeated, the Bible says that he arose from the dead triumphantly and declared that all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And so I say to you today, take heart. Don't be discouraged because like Joshua said in chapter 1, verse number 9, be strong and courageous. Don't tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. God is God, and God alone is able to see us through. Listen to me, Grove Temple. We are going through because God is with us and on our side. Yeah, some of you think that you're going through hell and high water because life is just lifing. But when the reality is some of you are going through the hell and high water that you're going through simply because you are a child of God. In fact, I would just like to suggest that you should not get so upset. You should not act all erratic when hell hits your way. Sometimes you should just give God a shout. Thank you, Jesus. I know I'm on the right team, because if I wasn't on the right team, the enemy wouldn't be trying me the way that he's trying to me. And in fact, in the Word of God, speaking to the Apostle Peter, one day Jesus reminded him that the church and Lord, have mercy. The church, his church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. You remember when he said it in Matthew 16, verse number 18, upon this rock. And can I just go ahead and tell you that God has not changed his mind about his church? God is calling us to a higher place of service, praise, worship, love, forgiveness, reconciliation, evangelism. He's calling us to another level in him, but we have to stay focused. We've got to stay focused, and that's what I want to talk to us about today, staying focused. I mean, we do not allow yourself to be distracted by the noise in the world, but in order to stay focused, we have to do a few things. I found this out on my Christian journey, and I believe that this text prescribes exactly what we need to do to stay focused. You see, staying focused means staying in the race. Grandson, give me the scriptures, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. I sent Kyan the scriptures this morning, and it just had one scripture, and he, for the first time ever, he hit the love button. He was just so happy he didn't have to go through 30 scriptures this morning. He and sent it back quick, too, the love button. I just had the title and one set of scripture, and he... four verses, and he hit back immediately, "I love you." He just that's what it was saying to me. Amen. The Bible reads, the New King James Version, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Looking unto Jesus, somebody say, look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And then it ends by saying, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. I'll never understand how I can't read a tablet that is right in front of me with no glasses, but I can read a screen 100 feet away, and they call that nearsighted. All right. Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to the hearers, the readers, but most of all, the doers of his word. When you talk about staying focused, you talk about staying in the race. It means keeping your eyes on the prize. It means not letting discouragement cause you to give up and quit. Let's look at verse 1, clause A of the verse. And when I say clause A, I'm just simply speaking about the very first part of the verse. Amen. And it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it is called for us to take a look at those who have gone before us. Therefore, I believe that some of you in here today who are on the brink of giving up, some of you may be frustrated, tired, fed up with church, sick of church people, sick with religion, sick with religious hypocrisy. Your emotions are running wild, but I want you to hear the Lord this morning as he speaks to us. God is saying to all of us in here today, look around you. Even the great heroes of faith did not always have it so good. They did not always achieve everything they set out to achieve. Great men and women of the Bible had to struggle to finish their races as they sought to please God. They had to struggle to be counted as worthy in the sight of God. And this text is saying to all of us, look at them and learn from them and live what they have lived. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Why? And who are they? Look at chapter 11. If we looked at chapter 11, it's like the hall of fame of saints, of the saints of God that went through all types of hell and high water and endured, and still they endured until the end. We are in a race. And I need you to understand this race is not the 100 yards dash. No, it is a marathon. And so we get tired along the way. We get discouraged. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying to us, look at all of the other runners who ran before you. Now, I need you to catch this because this is really important. Because if you don't grab hold of this, in the midst of the race, it can become tiresome. It can become burdensome. And so every now and again, I have to look back at the heroes of my faith and remember what Abraham went through, remember what Enoch went through, remember what Noah went through, remember what all of the greats went through. So when I see that they went through it, I understand that I too can go through it as well. Lord, have mercy. It's very important. And this is why you got to read your Bible. This is why you got to read. Let me tell you something. This is why you have to read your Bible, and not just read your Bible, but you have to read your Bible with an understanding, because it's the understanding that gets you through. Amen. When you begin to understand what it is that you're reading, then all of a sudden you begin to play from a different playing part of the playing field. Amen. I need you to understand that Hebrews gives us chapter 11. It gives us a list of runners who ran before us, and they're not looking at us. The Bible wants us to look at them. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, David, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Samson, Jacob, Samuel. These are folks who loved God but had to struggle to make it in. And then the Bible is saying to us today, hang in there. There is a prize at the end of the road. I know it gets crazy. I know it gets lonely. I know it gets hurtful. I know it gets confusing sometimes. But if you hang on in there, there is a prize at the end of the road. Lord, have mercy. Let's read verses 2 through 4 real quickly. It says, in fact, we'll just read it all. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great, and so the reason why you see the therefore in Hebrews 12, verse number 1, is because it is saying, when anytime that you see a therefore in the Bible, what you need to do is stop and read what came before the therefore. Because what he's doing is, the Hebrew writer has made a point in chapter 11. And so since he's made a point in chapter 11, now he comes off in chapter 12 and he says, therefore, Lord, have mercy. There's power in the therefore. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then he goes on and says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who by the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become, in other words, he said, listen, stop looking to the person to the left of you, stop looking to the person to the right of you, and look at the person, Lord have mercy, who endured it all. Because if you don't do that, the Bible says, you will become weary in your and discouraged in your souls. Anybody ever been discouraged? Can we just tell the truth and shame the devil? Anybody ever just been tired of church? Just tired. I just can't no more. Amen. The Bible tells us to look at himself. Look at him. Unless we become weary and discouraged in our souls. Give me the rest of it. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So, we see people who knew how to run the race of faith. They are not looking at us. We are to look at them. They are the examples and our motivation to press on into the next level. So to stay focused, it means we have to look around us. Now let's read verse number 1, clause B. Give me back to verse number 1, grandson. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Lord, have mercy. See, clause A is telling us, you know what I'm saying, to look around. But clause B says, now let us lay aside every weight that so easily ensnares us. Staying focused means we must lay aside some things. A call for us to shed some things, load lighten, if you will, for the move of the next level. It's hard to go upstairs with unnecessary weight on your back. You ever tried to get to the next level and have a lot of people with no ambition, no vision, no desire? They cool where they at, they content where they at, and if they gonna get anywhere else, it's gonna be off the back of you. Yeah. You got to learn how to. Sometimes you just got to bend down and when they be like, "What you bending down for?" So you can get off. Yeah. Everybody can't go. You've heard me say it time and time again. Everybody can't go to your next level. You're going to have to bring something to the table. You're going to have to put something in the tank. You're going to have to let me know that you ain't just for you, but you for us. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me in here. Sometimes you got to get rid of some stuff. Some of us are too heavy to get to the next level. God wants to take us higher, but we are burdened down with things that we have no control over. And the Lord is saying to us right now, lay it aside. So some of us take on responsibilities that have nothing to do with us. And God is saying, in this season, for where I want to take you next, you're going to have to lay it. I know you love it. I know you like it. I know you like it around you. I know you got its back. I know all of that. But in this season, you're going to have to be about you and lay it down. King James Version says, weight or encumbrance. Well, it means whatever is getting in your way of cultivating a deeper relationship with God. It could be a good thing even, as well as a bad thing. There are some good things that could also keep us from going to the next level. You know, a house, fishing, playing golf, amen. The game, amen. Can I just go ahead and tell the truth and shame the devil? Shamika will remember this when we was at the First Grove Temple. When the good game was on, I preached fast. You remember that, Wilma? When the game was at 1 o'clock, Fess would be like, "You know the game starts at 1. I'm like, "Brother, we're gonna be out of here at 11:45. Altar call and everything, amen. And God began to deal with me on that. He began to, you know, question me on that. Is the game more important than me? Is the outcome of the game going to be more powerful than the outcome of spending time in my presence? Beloved, watch out that we don't allow other things to draw us away from meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Imagine Christ return and meet us home frying chicken when we ought to have been in church worshiping him. Huh? Could you imagine that? God show up at the church. Where's such and such? Let me pop up over there. And they in the crib frying chicken watching Netflix. What they say, Netflix and chill. Huh? Let me tell you about something that happened to me this week. My fourth day on the job. I just started a new job, bless the Lord. And on the every Thursday at 9 in the morning, we have a prayer. For every person that is connected to the Lexington Leadership Foundation, we are all in a place called the prayer room. It is for this whole building is dedicated to nothing but prayer. I'm blessed to have a job like this. Amen. And so this Thursday, what they done was they had this past Thursday they had a man come in and teach, and he was teach a Bible study, and he was from UK. He was a professor at UK for like 11 years, and then an adjacent professor somewhere else. And I mean, the guy is just brilliant. I don't think that I've ever heard of a more brilliant person right standing in front of me. And he was teaching off the book of Acts chapters 10 and 11 with Cornelius, and talking about, you know, where Peter was talking about don't, you know, God was telling Peter, don't call anything that I made common. Don't call it common no more. Amen. And you know, Peter and Cornelius have this interaction, and Peter says, you know, I'm not even supposed to be here. What is it that you want? You know, I'm a Jew. I'm not even supposed to be around Gentiles. And he was teaching, and this is what blew my mind. And I don't know why, but I just want to share this part with you. It has nothing to do with my notes. But he, when he spoke of the Holy Spirit, he would say, Holy Spirit told me. And one day Holy Spirit was ministering to me. Note what I'm saying. And he would say, you know, so when I'm spending time with Holy Spirit, he wasn't saying when I'm spending time with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit. He was so in tune. He was so in alignment with God that he had totally taken on the mindset that the Holy Spirit, you see what I just said, the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was a person, not a the. And I know that we say stuff back and say, well, we know that the Holy Spirit is a person and not a thing or an it or whatever like that. But he had got to the place and he said something that was powerful, and you just might want to write this down. He said, nothing is more important than being in the presence of God. Very simple, right? And we sit back and go, sure, duh, we know that. No. I'm talking from a man who is, his lips say this, Holy Spirit ministered to me. Holy Spirit told me. He's at a place in his walk where you know, they're on this one, they're on this first name basis. And in other words, it's not saying the Kevin told me that I should come over because they're cooking today. The DA didn't. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's just DA told me come over today because they're cooking. You see what I'm saying to you? And we've got to get to a place in our lives where, and I sat there envious of that relationship that he has built with Holy Spirit, right? It just blew my mind. And guess what? He didn't have on no name brands. He didn't have on no. I mean, he was just. If I'd have saw him walking down South Broadway, where the prayer room is, I'd have thought that he might have been homeless. Even, you understand what I'm saying to you? And he was just so comfortable in his skin, and there was a peace that resided all over him. And I just want you to know, church, that it's cool to be saved and all of that. But there comes a time when you got to want more than just being saved. I want this relationship with Holy Spirit that is so powerful, that is so deep, that is so impacting, that everything I do, I make every decision off the strength of Holy Spirit. I make every way I go, I go that way on the strength of Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying to you? That there's got to be more than just coming to church. It's got to be more than just coming to church. And I had to share that with you because it was mind-blowing to me. It was life-changing to me. And all I sat there the whole time, and he said some very powerful things. And he spoke so great and so grand. And his education level was off the chain. But I know that ain't me. That ain't my call. But what I did take from it is, man, I want what you got with Holy Spirit. Man, I want that. Man, I want to walk through here and not care nothing about this world and everything, care only about everything that God cares about. Man, I want that. Lord, have mercy. We got to be careful that we don't let other things jeopardize our relationship with Jesus. But he says, lay aside the sin that so easily besets us. I believe that there is a sin that weighs each of us down. There is a struggle that we really, I think everybody in here got a struggle that they really got to fight against. You might not go 12 rounds with it no more like you used to it in the beginning, but it's still a fight nonetheless. And whatever that is, the Lord is saying to us today, lay it aside because it will keep us back from going to the next level. And for some of us, that sin is a lack of faith and unbelief in Jesus Christ. You would be surprised how many show up at church every Sunday and don't believe in Jesus. And he says, sure I do. Sure I believe in Jesus. If I didn't believe in Jesus, I wouldn't be here. No, you're here because you've been taught to be here. You're not here because of relationship with Jesus. You're here because mama went to church and grandmama went to church, and church is what we do. But you got to get to the point to where I ain't got nothing to do with what mama and grandmama done. This walk that I got with Jesus is between Jesus and me. I believe in him. I trust him. Even when I can't trace him, I believe in him. I believe in him so much that I do what I don't want to do because the word tells me that's what I ought to do. I believe in him. When you have trust and faith in God, you don't worry about what you're going to lose out on because you did the right thing. Anybody ever struggle with that? Tell the truth and shame the devil. You ever struggle with, if I do the right thing, man, I'm going to miss out on this. Don't you understand that you can't miss out on nothing because what God has for you is for you? That's why when you go against God's will, what you went against God's will for, don't ever stay with you no way because it wasn't yours to begin with. Lord, have mercy. For some of us, the sin is a lack of faith in unbelief in Jesus Christ. Some it's pride, holier-than-thou attitude, thinking that we're better than others, unforgiveness, envy, jealousy, hatred, lust, stinginess, gambling, and greed, whatever it is today. And I know for some it might even be worry, the material things of life. But whatever it is, God is saying to us, lay it aside, throw it off. Those things entangle us and trip us up, and no wonder we cannot get to the next level. Our hearts are not right, and we are burdened down by the nagging things of life, and we've got to let them go. So, to stay focused, we've got to stay focused. We've got to lay some things aside. So far we understand we've got to look around and then we've got to lay some things to the side. Next, staying focused means that we have to labor ahead. Let us run. Verse number one, clause C, where it says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The Christian life is a race that we must all run, but not just run, we must finish. And there are some who have started out well, but have been sidetracked by the things of life and have dropped out of the race. So I stop by to encourage some of you to hang in there. Don't give up. God is with you. The unfortunate thing is many people are not even in the race, and some Christians can hardly be described as running the race. Some are jogging. Some are walking slowly, sitting idly by on the track. Worst of all, some are laying down and have given up on God, dropped out of the race. Ain't nothing I hated worse when I used to run track, and I ran track for about a month and a half. I was running, and somebody that was sitting in the seats who don't do nothing in school, talking about, pick it up, Preem. And I'm running, and I'm like, won't you pick it up, period. I know I'm losing. Ain't nothing I can't stand worse in the body of Christ is people with a whole lot of opinions, but ain't in the game. Note that. They know how to hang around the body of Christ, but they ain't really in the body of Christ. But because they've been hanging around so long, you automatically assume they are part of us. You ain't a part of us if you ain't in it with us. That's why I don't waste my time with people and their opinions and how they feel about things, and you ain't in the fight. The devil is a lie. Jogging around. Sitting on the track, drinking a Gatorade. You ain't practiced, ran nothing. What do you need electrolytes for? Don't know nothing about this sacrifice, amen? Got so much to say. And that's why I have to come today to say, don't get distracted by what is going on around you, but continue to come to church and assemble yourself with other believers and sit under the teaching and the preaching of the word of God so that you may be strengthened and encouraged for this journey that lies ahead of all of us. Beloved, this race, it gets hard at times, and if you are not grounded in the word of God, I promise you, you will not make it. Now, I want to put you up on something. I said, if you're not grounded in the Word of God, you will not make it. Here is the scary part. A lot of people think because people died in church that they was in the church, that they was of the church. Woo, Lord, how mercy. Did you hear me? A lot of people think such and such went to church for 17 years and they never missed a Sunday and wasn't no more saved than the man in the moon. Huh? It ain't enough just to go. There has to be this relationship. There has to be this growing in God. You understand what I'm saying to you? And if you're not rooted in the Word of God, there is no way you can make it. We, the pastors here at Growth, can I speak for when we go on, when life calls us on, right? But right now, on our watch, there will always be a word in this house. On our watch, Growth will always be a place where your children and grandchildren can come and learn about God and grow up and become responsible adults. Growth will always be a place where couples can grow in relationship with each other. And just so you know that couples, we get to next week is on. I can't even get it out. I'm so excited. I can't get it out. Men against the women. Men against the women at the bowling alley. And I'm telling you, we grow you up, but come Saturday, we're going to beat you down. And if you single people want to show up, you show up and you jump on whatever side you need to jump on. It's going to be all right. Thank you, woman of God. But one thing that I am proud about Growth is we got relationships. We got ministries for single people. We got ministries for married people. We got ministries for babies. We got ministries for kids. We got ministries for youth. And as long as these pastors rock with me on this watch, we ain't never going to not have a word for the people of God. Our seniors are even encouraged in the things of God. Growth will always be a place where we can encourage the saints to get in the race and stay in the race because the prize is at the end that is awaiting us. The Bible says, eyes have not heard, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Run with endurance. It means keep living out your Christian witness even when the odds are against you. Even if you're sick, run. Even if you're handicapped, run. Even if you're discouraged, keep running. Don't give up. Stay focused. The call is to labor ahead. So we look around. I'm almost done, I promise. So we look around. We lay aside and we labor ahead. And if we get to reading verse number two says, I think that's verse number three. Take me back. That's verse number one. Gotcha. Looking unto Jesus. Thank you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, Lord. The object of our focus, I want you to catch this, the object of your focus got to be right. The object of your focus has got to be right. Not of government, not of me, not of your parents, your spouse, your employer. Staying focused means that we must lock your eyes on Jesus. Focus on the Lord. You can be concerned about others, but don't allow them to distract you. They distract us with negative talk. Huh? Oh, Lord. Anybody got some negative talkers in their life? Yeah. God said, keep on keeping on anyway. Amen. You know, I've come to learn that people that talk negative about other people are just unhappy. And it ain't nothing you can do for a person that ain't happy with theyself. If you ain't happy with yourself, ain't no way in the world I'm going to get you to be happy with me. You understand what I'm saying to you? They distract us with their negative talk, their negative behavior, bad attitude, trying to influence you to doing things that they want you to do. But I've come to tell you to stay focused. Don't even get in arguments with folks like this. Don't even waste your time arguing with people that want to always got something slick to say or something nasty to say, always lying on you and all that. Don't even, let me tell you something, character needs no defense. Character needs no, I ain't getting ready to get in an argument one with nobody about nothing somebody got to say with me, because character needs no defense. Stay focused. You know when you're distracted? You know when you're distracted? Because all of the focus begins to get on yourself. We become full of self. Even if you're defending yourself, you're defending self. Oh, God. And when the focus is on self, we can never run well for the Lord. The Bible says that we are to be filled with the Spirit, not filled with ourselves. And we are filled with ourselves when we think everything has to be done our way, when we think everything has to revolve around us. And we are God's gift to everybody else. And, you know, we the cats meow and the dogs bow wow. And no one can tell us anything and no one can teach us anything. When that happens, we become sidetracked and we can't run because the focus is not on God, but instead its own self. And we've been losing out and becoming disappointed because we've been focusing on the wrong things, the wrong people. Let me tell you something, beloved. Family will fail you. Friends will fail you. Church folk will fail you. But God never fails. So the word comes to remind us today to fix our eyes on Jesus. You see, when our eyes are on Jesus, we learn to see things from his perspective. We learn to pattern our lives after his life. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He will never disappoint you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never let you down. He will never turn his back. He will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Verse number two, clause B. Verse number two, clause B. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the beginning of our faith. He is the end of our faith. In chapter 11, we read about all the heroes of faith. But get this, Jesus is faith himself. And that is why the Bible says that we are to look to the heroes of faith. But it says that we are to, watch this, we are to fix, lock our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Beloved, the author, I'm sorry, verse number three. Beloved, the author and finisher of our faith has been tested, has been proven to be faithful, even to the death on a rugged cross. Lord have mercy. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Listen. Staying focused means we do not lose heart. Losing heart is not an option. I don't know who I'm talking to in here today. Losing heart is not an option. Giving up is not on the menu. I'm talking to some people in here today. Giving up is not on the menu. Is not on the menu. Lord, have mercy. But I got to admit, running the marathon race, when we run in this race, everybody gets tired. There's moments of discouragement. There's times of wanting to give up. But the word is saying to us today, read verse 3 again. This word comes to remind us that Jesus Christ and the life he lived is the best example for all of us. When we fix our eyes on him and remember all that he has done for us, it provides us with just a little more encouragement to keep on keeping on. Growth Temple, hear me and hear me good. On this Christian journey, there will be pain, problems, persecution, personal challenges, but hang on in there. We have work to do. Look around you. Men and women are dying every day and going to hell, and we are fighting over things that have no value to the kingdom of God at all. Wake up, beloved. God is looking for people who will rise up and begin to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. And I believe that there are some people in here who are willing to go the full distance. But in order to move forward and move to the next level, people will have to stay focused. Lord, have mercy. People of God, it's so easy to get distracted. Take our eyes off Jesus. that I must warn you, be careful, stay focused, don't let the noise in the world intimidate you or shake your faith in God. Don't quit. Don't lose heart. I declare to you today, this church will go on to become a great church in this community. So losing heart is not an option. Be encouraged. Be strong. Don't fear. Don't worry about these numbers. Don't worry about what it looks like right now. God will give you the strength you need to go on. I don't care what it is that you're going through in life. God will give you the strength to keep you keeping on. Keep on striving. He'll give you the ability to keep striving. And if you are not in the race, then I implore you to get in the race. Two times we've seen it. Let us, meaning this is a personal race. Each one of us lay aside, labor ahead, lock eyes on Jesus, must run. Each one must not lose heart. And so the call today is to stay focused. And if you're going to stay focused, you're going to have to look around you, lay some things and some people to the side, labor ahead, run. Run on, Christian soldier, run on. Lock your eyes on Jesus and understand that losing heart is not an option. Amen? I know there's some times when we just want to give up. Just tired. But I want to say this to you, and I don't mean no offense when I say it. But if you find yourself always tired, just tired and tired and tired, then perhaps we are not connected to the source as we should be. See, when I came down here today, my tablet, I had just unplugged it before I left the house. And by the time that I got here, it was on 100 when I unplugged it. Didn't open it, didn't read it, didn't scroll. But by the time that I had got from my house to the church, a 15-minute drive, it had went down to 94. And then, by the time that I had got from my office to downstairs, it was at 92. I hadn't looked at it, hadn't scrolled, hadn't read anything. But now, my tablet is at 88. And all I know is that all I'd done was scrolled, read, and talked. Scrolled, read, and talked. That's all I done. I wasn't working with it. I wasn't emailing anybody. I wasn't sending pictures. I wasn't looking at videos or any of that. I was standing before you, scrolling, reading, and just talking. And somehow, some way, it has dropped down to 88%. And by the time that I get home, there's a great chance that it will be somewhere in the 70s. See, what happens is I took it away from the source of power. I took it away from what was keeping it charged. Beloved, you've got to stay connected to what keeps you charged. And the enemy's plight, his plan, is to make you feel like you don't even want to be on the charger. Because when you're on the charger, you're free of the drama, but you're free of the drama. Lord, have mercy. Let me say that again. When you're on the charger, you're free of the drama. But the problem with that for some folks sometimes is you're free of the drama. And you got to make up in your mind, beloved, that you want to be free of the drama. That you want to be connected to the source. You understand what I'm saying? So if you constantly find yourself drained, like my iPad is draining, even as I talk to you now, my iPad is draining. If you want to find yourself, if you're always finding yourself drained and tired and wore out and why ain't this thing working for me? Maybe, just maybe, you need to check your charger. Check the connection. Amen. Check the connection. But it don't seem to be working for me. Have you given it everything? Is the plug in the port securely? Because I'm going to tell you something. When my charger is in, one thing that I've learned, nothing else can get in this hole. Nothing foreign. Sometimes when you put a faulty charger, one of those convenience store chargers in your iPad or your iPhone, it says, what's it say? Accessory, not accepted, not charging. Amen. How many times have you just put a charger in there and just figured it was working? And then get back to your phone or your iPad or your computer and go, oh, my Lord, this wasn't charging at all. And you checked the port and it was in there tightly. But the problem was it was the wrong accessory for that device. Some of you are connected to the wrong accessories. Lord, have mercy. Some of you are connected to the wrong people. And it's going to take God. It's going to take you going back to God to get back to where you need to be. Amen.
Praise the Lord.